This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Satter is on the other side of the glass. He's the star of our show, making sure that everything goes on without a hitch and that the podcast will be posted shortly thereafter. In the studio, I'm glad to say we got part of the Dream Team back here. We have Kimberly Smith is here, safety press officer with PennDOT District 3O, and she's spoken to us about road safety and bus safety and biking safety and pedestrian safety and, pre-holiday safety so many times, and it is just a great message, and it bears repeating, and I bet we could even empirically prove that people have been safer out there on the roads because of our messages. So thank you for coming in. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Oh, I really do appreciate it that we've learned so much. Relatively new to us, but has been here a couple of times and has spoken to us telephonically a few times, Trooper Andrea Pelichek. She's a community service officer. That makes her a public information officer as well at Pennsylvania State Police Troop F at Milton. And again, road safety, this idea of us maybe just protecting the people in the other lane, but also trying to make sure our teams stay safe. So thanks again for coming in. Always good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
I do appreciate it. And I know you've been busy lately. We've received quite a few things in the emails from you. So thank you for that. Well, let's talk about road safety. We'll start with Kim. This idea, you suggest we talk about the 100 deadliest days for teens. Explain, boy, that's a grim topic. Explain what
it
that
sure
is.
It sure is. The period of time between Memorial Day and Labor Day each year, we do see an increase in teen fatal crashes. And if you think about it, it does make sense in that kids are out of school, they're done with their sports practices for the season, and so they have more time to be out on the roadways with their friends and out doing things. So a more unstructured time means more time on the road, and then therefore more crashes. So we do see an increase in our teen fatalities during that time.
Well, and I think your hospital ERs will tell you it's just a tougher time for kids at all, just because, right, you know, they're climbing trees and having fun and swimming and so forth. As far as you're concerned, Trooper Pelichek, this idea that the summertime you're going to want to get the message out to younger drivers to be as safe as possible.
Absolutely. And some important reminders we want to put out for those teen drivers are avoid distractions. Make sure when you're driving, you're paying attention to the road, not the radio or cell phone. Always buckle up and don't speed.
No, I always get in my vehicle and I say, I'm going to pay attention. I'm getting my full attention to driving. It's what a 4,000-pound weapon that you got. But then the radio goes off, or the something switches, or the phone rings, or the podcast runs out. How do we get this discipline to somehow pay attention, to give our full attention to driving?
So some things to do are just to make sure, if you do have a cell phone, make sure it's hooked up. If you have a Bluetooth device in your car, that way you're not messing around with it with your hands. And again, the biggest things I would say are buckle up, because that's going to prevent any injuries or death potentially if you are involved with a crash.
Now, buckling up, that's a law in Pennsylvania?
Absolutely.
Everybody all the time has to be buckled up?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you've been reminding kids, from the time they were very young, to buckle up and be aware of that and to make sure that that's top of the mind to young people.
Right. Yeah. So it's a primary law for our children under the age of 18 in Pennsylvania. So no matter where they are in the car, front seat, back seat, they have to have at minimum either a car seat if they're under the age of 4, a booster seat if they're under the age of 8, and then, of course, a seatbelt if they're up to age 18.
What are the crash and injury factors for speeding vehicles if we have, I mean, not necessarily just a mile or two over, sort of, I guess I'll call it normal, but for significantly exceeding the speed limit, what are the safety and the injury factors with that?
Right. So obviously, the faster you go, the more likely you are to be injured in a crash. So seatbelts do greatly reduce the risk of that. So we can't promise you a seatbelt's going to save your life, but what we can promise you is that it greatly increases your chances. So up to about 60%, it does increase your chances of surviving a crash.
All right. And click it or ticket, is that all the time thing now? Now I hear that message fairly often, Trooper.
So it's definitely something that we enforce all the time, but there are periods of usually holiday activities going on that we really make sure we're enforcing it because of the increased volume of drivers on the road.
All right. Anything for either of you to add? There's 100 deadliest days for teens. It seemed to me like we could probably focus a couple of shows just on that. Anything additionally to add to that?
I would just remind parents to keep the conversation going, not just when you're teaching them to drive, but keep talking to them about safe driving and make sure that you're setting a good example. You know, they often drive the way that you drive. So if they see you picking up your cell phone, they're going to do the same thing.
Anything else parents should do to make sure their teens have a full toolbox of safe driving equipment?
I think, again, kind of like what Kim said, is just have that open communication with the children that are driving and just making sure they're practicing safe driving.
All right, so we are talking to Trooper Andrea Pelichek, a public information officer and community service officer from the State Police, and Kim Smith is here, safety press officer from PennDOT up at Engineering District 3O. Work zone safety, I don't know, it seems like it snuck up on me this year. I'm driving down the highway and I run into a flag person, figuratively speaking, of course. But you often talk about work zone safety, you know, slow down, give these workers a break. Remember, they have a family, that kind of thing.
Right, right. So, you know, every year we lose people in our work zones. And it's not necessarily the workers that are being killed and injured, although that does happen and it's very tragic when it does. But people need to realize that it's the motorist as well. So they're either hitting large pieces of equipment, they're hitting the Jersey barriers, those large concrete barriers that divide the road. Maybe they're not merging well, and then there's a crash that way. So when we talk about work zone safety, it's for the protection of not only the worker, but also the traveling public.
All right, and it just seems like they're not paying attention is the reason. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of things that happen as a result, but just, I don't know, what distracted driving? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So our roadway workers will report to us that they see a lot of distracted driving coming through the work zones, and it's very scary for them. That's why we often have a set of eyes just being on the lookout for our drivers and warning if somebody does intrude in the work zone. So they see that a lot. They see speeding a lot, aggressive driving. People get angry that they've been stopped in traffic because of construction, and so they get aggressive with their driving. So those types of things are what we do see that are dangerous behaviors. So we like to remind everybody to, you know, please pay attention, put the phone down, obey those warning signs and the flaggers that you see. Keep your following distance greater than it normally would be. Make sure you're giving yourself plenty of time to react to things, and have your full headlights on. That helps the workers see you and helps other vehicles see you as well.
All right. Work zone safety. Trooper, please.
Yeah, Kim summed it up very well. But the reasons that the work zones have all the signs before and during is to help keep the drivers aware of the situations and keep kind of their attention on there. So sometimes work zones can be very hectic with changing lanes, and it's very important that you're paying attention with having your headlights on. Even if you're slowing down more in the work zone, put your four-way flashers on just to tell other drivers that are coming up behind you that you're slowing down. It's just really keeping a good safe distance and being aware of where people and workers may be on the side of the road.
Yeah, some people are so hesitant to use their flashers. It's kind of a strange thing, but if you're first in line or even just in a line at a construction zone, you know, you're waiting, so you've stopped and you're good, but you look in the rearview mirror and, you know, you just wonder who's coming along. Are they paying attention, or are they going to be the distracted driver that comes along? Sometimes we do see troopers parked in certain work zones. What's the criteria in general that goes into that?
So depending on the work zone, sometimes we get asked to kind of be at the beginning of the work zone. Sometimes the flashing blue and red lights definitely help get people's attention to slow down and pay attention to what's going on the roadway.
Yeah, it seems so tough, and I agree so much with this distracted driving observation, because I ride bicycle, and when my wife and I are out there, you know, we'll see a car go by right on the white line and thinking, he didn't even know we were there. He's, you know, thinking about something else or doing something else. So work zone safety, the same thing. Have work zones have been as dangerous lately as they were in some years past?
A couple of years ago, we had a lot of of crashes in our work zones, and I haven't seen that pop up as often. I will tell you that we do have some work zones that now have the automated work zone enforcement. They have those cameras out there, and when we have the presence of those cameras, our workers are reporting that they do see a decrease in speed, so those are helpful as well.
All right, we just have a couple minutes left, so we want to talk about keeping our kids safe. We'll start with Trooper Pelichek. Just kind of summarize some of our things that relate to the laws that relate to safety of our children.
Yeah, so children in cars should always be restrained correctly. And unfortunately, 3 out of every 4 car seats are not used correctly. This could just be it wasn't installed correctly, not maliciously, but just by accident. So it's very important to read the manuals of both your car and the car seat to make sure it's installed properly for the children to be safe.
Yeah, when they first encounter the child safety seat installation checks that you both are qualified to do, the troopers still say most, M-O-S-T, seats aren't properly installed. All right, additional best practices for keeping our kids safe, Trooper?
So between the newborn and 2 years old, minimum that the child should be rear facing. This keeps them safe. It keeps their neck secure if there was a crash. And then depending on the height and weight of the child also. But keep them rear facing as long as possible. That is the safest position for children to be at. As they get older, they can go switch to the front facing. Again, make sure the car seat is installed properly. And then once they get bigger, they can be put into a booster seat in conjunction with the seatbelt, just to make sure the seatbelt is hitting them in the correct places, again, to make them the most secure. And any children under the age of 13 should ride in the rear seat. Airbags are not comparable for children. They're meant to protect adults, and until the child gets big enough, they should always be in the rear seat to keep them, again, the safest.
So you got to put the 12-year-old in the back seat, eh?
Yes.
You think they're going to like that? They might resist. Okay, wrap us up. Some additional remarks about keeping our kids safe.
Right, so we're just touch quickly on bicycle safety and pedestrian safety. So for children on bicycles, remember that it is state law that they wear a helmet under the age of 12, but really anybody of any age should wear a bike helmet to protect their brain in the event of a crash. And teach them the hand signals. Talk to them about their like turn signals for cars and that they're letting the people behind you know which way you're going. That's something that we worked on last night at the Danville Bike Rodeo. To have them wear bright colors. Our roads are black or gray when the macadam fades, and if they're wearing all dark colors, it makes it more difficult to see them. So make sure that your kid has an article of bright clothing or reflective clothing is even better when they're riding their bike. As far as pedestrian safety tips, teach them at an early age to look left, right, left, and keep looking as they cross that street. Talk to your older kids about cell phone use when they're walking. They know that it might be dangerous to use their cell phone when they're driving, but they might not realize that it's also dangerous to use it and be distracted by it when you're out walking along our roadways. And, be a good role model again. Set those good examples for your kids.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. Where can I get more information, Kimberly, on all this good, helpful information?
Sure. You can go to PennDOT.PA.gov/safety and use a whole bunch of topics. You can click on each topic and learn more.
All right. Trooper Pelichek?
Yes, just if you ever have any questions, you can definitely stop by any police stations. Usually there's always someone, if you have a question even regarding if the car seat is installed properly, we can make an appointment and we can definitely check that out.
All right. Trooper Andrea Pelichek, Community Service Officer, Public Information Officer also at State Police Troop F, Milton. Kim Smith, Safety Press Officer at PennDOT District 30. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.